We are observing communion today, and with that, there will be no children's time. Just a reminder to all the parents, no children's time. But we do have a special event coming up for families, for the community, for the entire church on October the 26th. The last couple of years, we've had two events around the end of October, the Fall Family Festival and Treat Street. Well, they were a week apart. This year, we decided to combine the two. We're going to have the inflatables here that night, but also have a period of time when we have Treat Street open. Treat Street is when Sunday school classes, mission groups, families, friends take a door in our church and decorate it, and that Sunday school class room becomes a place for kids to come. They can trick or treat. They can play games. We've had a big success reaching out in the community the last several years, and so we would like for your Sunday school classes to consider that, mission groups to consider that. We'd like to have about 20 or so rooms that take place. We have instructions for this. It's very simple to do, and we'd love for you guys to start thinking about that at the end of this month. Let's see. Now, I want you to start thinking about it now, because the event, don't think it at the end of the month. Thinking now. Charlie Jones.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I come to you this morning on behalf of the Deacon Election Committee. Hopefully, just to remind you that our nominations open today. You'll find nomination forms for this deacon election at the Welcome Center, outside the sanctuary doors here at the coffee house, and in the adult Sunday school areas. The nomination will be open for 2 weeks. So on Sunday, October 19th, nominations will close. Our committee will then gather together and contact each one of the nominees and find out who is willing to serve and be on the deacon ballot. 1 week before we vote, we will give you an information sheet about each one of the nominees, and we will invite them to come down in front of the sanctuary, and you can put a name with a face, and hopefully that will allow you to help you with your voting the following week, November the 9th. If you have any questions, please touch base with any of our committee members. Kelly McCrary, Becky Haney, Julie Blink, Chancel Brown, or myself. We covet your prayers. We thank you for participating in this important process at College Park.
Friday, November 14th and Saturday, November 15th is the Women of Faith Conference in Charlotte. We are taking a group of ladies with us down there. Looks like it's going to cost about $150, give or take a couple, to go down for the weekend. Well, I say overnight, not the weekend. Anyway, we would love to see you. If you are interested in going, I need to know today because we need to get kind of that moving and planned and seats reserved and that sort of thing. So if you're interested in going, if you would let me know or let Krista know, and if you would be interested in giving so that somebody might have a scholarship to go, we would be glad to talk to you about that as well. Thank you so much.
A couple final announcements. This week there's going to be some heavy level of activity here at the church. Number one, the gym floor is going to do its yearly maintenance, so the gym will not be available Monday through Friday this week. Those aerobics classes will still take place in Smith Hall, but want you to know the gym floor is being refinished this week. Also, the parking lot is going to be recovered. And so we're not sure exactly when they're going to be here. So what we're encouraging you to do, if you don't want to get any of that stuff on your car, let's park on the side roads. If you're here at the church during the week, just want you to be aware that the parking lot's probably going to be closed most of the week. But we're excited that these two things are getting done. Any other announcements? We good? I want to say a very special welcome to our guest this morning. Whoop. Oh, it's always Krista. She's always got an announcement. Yes, ma'am.
Senior Adult Revival
is listed in your bulletin, and it's this Thursday at 2 o'clock at Robin Hood Road Baptist Church. And grief support after revival. Shouldn't grief support come before revival? Oh, okay. Got it. Grief support next week. So, lots of things happening in the life of our church. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. Thank you so much for being a part of worship today. We want to give some information to you. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. And inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship this day. Psalm 28, verse 6. Praise be to the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. Let us prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, it is your name and your name alone that will be praised this day. That's why we've come. That's why we are here. That's the purpose of our lives, is to worship you, to be in your presence. That's why we've come this morning. We ask that you come in this place, dwell among your people. Speak to us as only you can. May all that's done in this place be done to glorify you and your name alone. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I, for one, am thankful for fall weather today because it reminds me that I live in North Carolina, which is a state that I love and hold dear. But I'm thankful for all the stuff that fall brings with us, the changing of the seasons. And as Raymond is always quick to point out, the coming of Advent soon, his favorite time of year. Would you join me in prayer as we give thanks for all that we have? Gracious Father, we come to you today humbly and in thanksgiving for all that you've given us, Lord. And we ask that you will take the peace that you ask for us to return to you and bless it a thousandfold, Lord, that we give of our tithe and our offering and of ourselves will take your message to those we encounter through the week and throughout the world, Lord, that you will bless what we bring to you and make it for your glory and for your kingdom. As the song says, to you is the glory, Lord, and we just ask that we humbly bring ourselves to be part of that glory. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
This morning, there are going to be about four teaching points, if you will. So if you'd like to remember these, we'll move through them fairly quickly. So if you'd like to remember these, on the order of service, there is an outline there that hadn't been filled in. So I just warn you ahead of time, there'll be about 4 points. You can just go ahead and put 4 points down there and write these in. If you are so inclined,
I know many of you take notes on your cell phone or tablets or whatever. You can pull those out and begin making notes on your cell phone as long as you turn the ringer off, okay? Turn the ringer off. Don't want it going on. Smartphones are something that are quite extraordinary. Amazing little inventions. We do all kinds of things with smartphones. We tweet on them. Yeah, right. Look that up. You surf on the web with them. You download video games. You download music. You know, you can actually even make a phone call on those things, too. It's amazing. You can make a phone call with them, or you can do all the above simultaneously if your carrier will allow you to do that. You know, for smartphones and for tablets and portable computers and all of that, there has never been a generation that is more connected, technology speaking, never been more connected, but it seems as if relationships are more disconnected than ever. And I wonder why that is. Sociologists have their theories about the closer you're connected technology-wise, the more you disconnect personal. But anyway, we won't go into all of that. But it, even though we have smartphones, it seems that we aren't very smart when it comes to deep communication. In fact, I would say probably the greatest stress in relationships, whether that be a marriage relationship or families or the workplace, the greatest stress is the breakdown in communication. And we hear that all the time, you know, with this cute little saying, what we have here is a failure to communicate. Well, that happens a lot. We failed to communicate. But we're in a series right now called Be the Message. And you say, well, what does that have to do with communication? It has everything to do with that. Because the gospel is not about what you say. It's about who you are and what you do and how you are Jesus to other people. When they look at you, do they see you or do they see Jesus through you? And how do we do that? We'll get into that. But it involves some pretty deep communication. We're talking about how you can discover and align your life and your life message. And as you do that, there's a lot of power there. It's not just about words. It's not just about words. It's about every decision you make, every action that you take. You're communicating something. So the gospel is something that's lived out. It's not just chatter. It's something that you live out. It's not about words. It's about the word. It's about Jesus Christ. And the key passage for these several weeks, we read all of it last week. It's John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Today we're going to look at just 14, okay, just that concluding verse. It reads like this: the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, we're going to break this verse down and kind of use portions of that to support basically four concepts that we need to be aware of if we are really going to be the message. As we align our life and our life message together, what does that involve? The first point is, before I open my mouth, I must open my heart. Before I say a word, I need to reveal my heart. You see, that's what Jesus did. The verse says, the Word became flesh. Now think about that for a moment. The God of this universe, the God that created all of this universe, all-powerful, perfect, needing nothing, but yet He comes to this earth, He puts on a suit of frail, vulnerable human flesh, and He becomes one of us. Why in the world, literally, would He do that? Why would He do that? One reason. He wanted us to see who He was. He wanted us to see His heart. He wanted us to know His heart so that we could communicate with Him and we could communicate His heart, His good news, to other people. He communicated His love powerfully through the life of Jesus. That means if I'm going to break through in my communication, in my efforts to communicate with people, I can't hide my humanness. I need to be real. I need to be real with people. Have you ever noticed how children are very real? They're very real. You know, what they're feeling, you generally don't have any trouble knowing what they're feeling. If they're angry, they'll let you know that. They will let you know. If they're excited about something, they will let you know that. When they're upset, when they're hurt, they'll let you know that as well. It's written all over their face and their body language. But as adults, we do what? Yeah. We hide it. We put on our little mask. We disconnect with people. And say, oh, I'm fine. I'm good. How are you? Yeah. You see, the only way that you will truly be connected to people is to take off your mask, reveal your heart, trust people. And that involves some risk. A lot of risk. You see, why do we hide behind those masks? Well, psychiatrists tell us the reason we do that is because we're afraid of rejection. They say rejection is the greatest human fear there is. In years of youth ministry I spent, I saw it over and over and over again. Good kids making bad decisions, doing stupid things for primarily one reason. They wanted to fit in. Translation, fear of rejection. Nobody wants to get hurt. Nobody wants to be wounded. But you see, good, deep communication requires admission of our weaknesses and asking for prayer. We're not here to be Joe and Jane perfect Christians, okay? We're here to love people and to show them what Christ means in our hearts and in our lives. You know, with my kids, the greatest breakthroughs I had sometimes with my kids, especially when they were teenagers, was those times when I would just have to sit them down. Ash, Carson, buddy, Dad messed up. I messed up. I failed you. My greatest intentions were this. These were my greatest intentions. Here's what I meant to accomplish by doing this, but here's where I fell short, and I'm so sorry. And they would look at me like, well yeah, you're human too, so, you know. And that's kind of the point. A healthy realization that there are no perfect earthly fathers or mothers, but there is a perfect heavenly Father who cares for us. And when we admit that He is perfect and we're not, that is a powerful moment. 1 John 4 verse 18 says, there is no room in love for fear. We'll repeat that. There's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, that is, fear of death, fear of judgment, is one that is not yet fully formed in love. We don't fully understand the nature of God's love if we are constantly fearful. For whatever reason, fear is crippling. The fear of rejection is crippling. It keeps you from risking revealing your heart. But Scripture tells us love banishes fear. Real love requires a little bit of risk, putting yourself out there a little bit. And I have to admit, I understand, I get it. You know, one of the scariest things that we do in life is to risk revealing our heart and our love. I understand that. This is the greatest risk that you have to drop your defenses and reveal your heart and risk rejection. I get that. But I also understand it is the greatest way to demonstrate Christ-like love. It's the best way sometimes that you can break through in communication. It's how you find your voice, and it's worth the risk. There's a movie called The Bucket List. It's a good little flick. And in the movie, a character played by Jack Nicholson. Well, in this movie, Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman are these two guys that kind of get together, and their life brings them together. And it's a funny story, but the character played by Jack Nicholson finds out that he only has a few months to live, so therefore it's just kind of like all caution to the wind. Okay, he's nothing to lose now, so he makes this list of all these things he wants to accomplish, things he wants to do in life before he dies. One of those things is to drive a race car as fast as he can. Because so what if it crashes? So what? Another thing is to jump out of an airplane and wait till the last minute to pull the ripcord. So what if he hits the ground doing 90? I mean, you know, it's kind of all these crazy things. He just wants to have a good time and risk these things he's always wanted to do, but never did it. On that list is also kiss the prettiest girl in the world and don't care if she slaps him or if he's embarrassed. He writes all these things down. He's not afraid of doing anything except there's one thing that paralyzes him with fear, and that is trying to reconnect with his adult daughter who's been estranged for years. Well, as the movie unfolds, as Morgan Freeman is in the hospital fighting for his life, he goes to the house of his daughter, and he's sweating bullets, man, and he brings this strange-looking plant. You know, it's kind of a something to give, you know. And he rings the doorbell, and she comes to the door, and she's very surprised. And he walks in and very awkwardly asks her to forgive him. And then he very awkwardly gives her a hug, and then it breaks loose. This little girl runs into the room, full of sunshine, beautiful child. And she runs up and gives him a hug, and then a kiss. And then he kisses her on the cheek. He discovers this little girl is his granddaughter that he had never met. Beautiful child. And they all hug together. See, at the end of the movie, you see him, after he has kissed this little granddaughter, he takes his list back off and he marks off, kiss the most beautiful girl in the world. Whew. See, if we want to see communication breakdown, breakthroughs. We're about to all have a breakdown after that story. Anybody has a daughter that's going, I missed my baby girl this morning. That's all right. If you can see her yesterday. If we want to see communication breakthroughs, before I open my mouth, I've got to open my heart. Got to do it. When I open my heart, I find my true voice to be the message, to be the gospel to other people. That's number one. The last three won't be that long, okay? Stay with me. The second thing is we need to move into their world, okay? We need to move into their world. Before you open your mouth, you need to open your heart. Second, you need to move into their world. That's what Jesus did. Verse 14 tells us the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. So God left the paradise called heaven, and he left his throne, he left his kingdom, he left perfect paradise. The Word was with God from the very beginning, and yet he took on flesh and came into this broken, sin-sick world and made his dwelling with us. Last week, remember we read from the Message translation, this passage where it says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That's really what it amounts to. We need to move into the neighborhood. To understand those we are trying to reach, we must meet them where they are, not demand that they come to where we are. The church in the 60s and 70s, the glory days of the church in America, we could just open the doors and people would flock here. Right? You remember those days? I remember them. Because that was the center of the community. Just have a building, have somewhere you're meeting. People would come to you. Those days are gone. And I'm kind of glad for that because that encourages believers to get out there and do how Jesus taught us to do. Meet them where they are, not demand that they come to where we are. The example of Jesus in the flesh was one of meeting people where they were and showing an understanding of their world, not demanding that they understand ours. That's how communication begins and grows. And there are a couple of things that I need to do, we need to do, in order to really move into the neighborhood and to be with the people in my life. The first of which is to listen. Listen. Proverbs 17:28 says this, even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. That's a great comfort to me in my life. I don't know about you. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Hallelujah. I claim that is my life verse, all right? Proverbs 17:28, write it down. Listen. Really listen to people. The world would be a better place if we would follow through with that this week. The second thing I think we need to do is use caller ID. Now, let me explain that. ID is a little acrostic there. The I stands for identify their needs. Look at people. Listen to people. Find out where they're hurting. Find out what's bothering them. And then the D stands for discover their dreams. Discover their dreams. And people will articulate this once you open your heart to them. They'll articulate this to you. And some of the greatest most frustrated people, it's generally because they have not been able to discover their dreams or to fulfill their dreams in life. So they're frustrated, they're aggravated. Listen, identify their needs, discover their dreams. You can meet them where they are. Move into their world. Then thirdly, speak and act in grace and truth. Verse says, the word full of grace and truth. Christ communicated to us in a way that was full of grace and truth. What is grace? Grace is giving someone what they could never deserve. And that's exactly what God did for us, right? You understand that? We never deserved His love. We never deserved salvation. None of that. It's grace. And so this week, give grace to people. Bless people with grace. And we need to give truth as well. You see, to really find your voice and to be the message that you've got to share the truth. Patrick Lencioni, in his book, Five Dysfunctions of a Teen, says that very few workplaces share the truth because everyone's trying to be nice to each other and politically correct, and no one wants to share the truth. Now, they may stab each other in the back in the coffee room. They may gossip about you later, but no one really wants to share the truth face to face. And if you want to build trust, you've got to learn to share the truth. So we have to have truth as a basis for our relationships, but yet we need to speak the truth in what? Love. Love should be your motivation for speaking the truth, not pounding them with your Bible. I mean, love should be the motivation for speaking truth. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, speaking the truth I love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. So if we want to be more like Christ, we need to learn to speak the truth in love. Because you tell the truth in love, that's what it says. Speaking the truth in love, we will be in all things growing into Him, growing more like Him who is the head, that is Christ. Christ. Speak the truth, grace and truth, and do it out of a motivation of love. Then fourth, call on Christ before I speak. Whoo. If I'm gonna find my voice, I need to call on Christ to give me the right words. To find your voice, stop talking. And hear God's divine whisper. Call on Christ before you speak. Call on Christ so that I can say the right words. In this verse 14, it says, but we've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. Remember that part? Who came from the Father. Jesus was connected to His Father. That's how He could connect with us, with His life message. If we connect to Christ, if we invite Him to give us the words to speak. Jesus said that He only spoke the words that He heard the Father saying. Our voice can become a divine echo if we will ask Jesus for the words to speak. Our prayer every day should be, God, give me the words for today, and especially when it's a difficult conversation. God, I need Your wisdom. Give me Your words. Speak through me what You want me to say. I need You. When somebody says something to us that's unkind, rather than get immediately defensive, pause for just a moment. I know what the human reaction normally is, but make yourself pause for just a moment and say, okay, God, that was pretty unkind. how would you have me respond to them? If you will consciously make yourself do that, it will change the nature of your communication skills. Completely change the nature of your communication. It sounds a little bit corny, but there's the saying that God has a phone number. It's JER333. That sounds nice for Christians because we know that perfect number three Trinity thing. So you can remember that. JER333. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer you and tell you the great and unsearchable things that you do not know. There's a lot of things I do not know. There are a lot of things that I desire to know, especially as I deal with people and work with people and love people. God says, look, call me. Call me and I'll teach you. I'll tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. What a beautiful promise. Before I open my mouth, I must open my heart. Move into their world. Move into their world. Speak and act in grace and truth. And then finally, call on Christ before I speak. Good, practical, all from John. Go back and read this verse over and over and over to remind you. John 1, verse 14. Four things that will change our life and change our communication skills. And as we commune with one another, and as we learn from one another, God has given us an opportunity through the example of Christ and his followers on what it means to come to the table and commune with the Father. The symbolism involved is very real because as we treat each other with love and grace and truth, understand the only reason we can do that is because the Father first loved us. And I am so thankful. And in a moment, we're going to share communion together. It's a wonderfully significant time. I invite you now, even now, to begin preparing your heart to commune with the Father. And let me say that the College Park practices open communion. What that means is, whether you're a member here or not, if you're a believer, we want you to commune with us. Okay, we invite you to be a part of what we enjoy here in this time of communing with the Father. Would you begin now by praying with me as we approach the table? Gracious Father, as we come to your table, we are reminded of the tremendous sacrifice that it was to send your Son, your one and only Son, into this world to show us how to live, to show us how to love, to show us how to reach out and truly communicate and to bless other people. Even as you have touched and communicated with us and blessed us. God, we thank you for the privilege of approaching the table in remembrance of the sacrifice of your perfect Son. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. Scripture tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He took on human flesh, that human flesh that was broken, battered, beaten, not because he had done anything wrong, but because we do. Take and eat. Even as his body was broken and the blood was spilled out, in that blood, we know that there is the offering of a new covenant, a new opportunity, a new relationship, new communication between God and us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I'm truly thankful. How about you? Let's drink. We want to give you an opportunity to respond to what you've experienced in worship today. If you're here and you're not a believer, I need you to know that that's the most important decision, the best, most glorious decision you'll ever make in your life is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to stand and sing together, I'll invite you, if you'd like to come talk with me about it or call me this week, either one, and let's sit down and talk about that. That's priority number one. If you're here this morning, you are a believer, but you're struggling a little bit with this thing on how to be the message and how to witness to other people and let your life be a witness to other people, I understand. We're all right there together. I understand that. You can certainly talk with God right where you are. The altar will be open here, or I'll be glad to speak with you if you'd like for that. If you're here and you'd like to be a member of College Park, there are many ways we receive members. Be glad to discuss that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Benediction response. I encourage you to look to one another, offer a word of encouragement. The instructions we received this morning will be challenging to live out, so be there for one another. Encourage one another as we go. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for today. A beautiful day of weather, a beautiful day of fellowship, a beautiful day of worship. And we pray that as we go from this place, that we would reflect your love, your peace, your comfort, as we encounter a world that would be contrary to that in many instances. God, we know that you love them too, that you died for them too. And we pray that we would approach people this week with the same eyes, with the same voice, with the same mind and heart that you do. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.